Coming up on TMS, Arby's is making things they shouldn't make.
Subway chicken is not chicken.
Big shock. Hello there, UFO. Oh, sorry. Hello there, UFO guy.
Jesus toast.
Jesus toast.
My son.
How did I end up on here?
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In just a minute, Mr. DeMille brings word of next week's gala attractions. Our stars tonight were assisted by Byron K. Folger as Skinner, Janet Scott as Lucy Ricks, Kenneth Hansen as Gordon, Frank Coughlin Jr. as Jimmy, and Maureen Roden Ryan as Bridget. Mr. Wininger and Miss Eilers appeared through courtesy of Universal Studios, Mr. DeMille, Paramount, and Royer and Mr. Silvers, 20th Century Fox, where the latter was in charge of music for the new film, Nancy Steele is Missing.
Later on, we go out to woods and shoot some trees.
You work at Attila de Midnight? This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for March 1st, 2017. I don't have to say February anymore. I can say March. Mm-hmm. March.
Yes.
Single syllable month.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I say if we ever get around to renaming all the months,
mm-hmm.
single syllables are the way to go. We keep March, we keep May, we keep June.
Yeah, what else isn't? There's no other single syllables, right?
No.
March, May, June.
April, May, June.
Yeah, that's it. The ones with three are just overstaying their welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Two, I can understand.
Even?
Yeah, come four, forget
February?
It. February.
Come on now.
January. Yeah, F that. Two is your max. Three, you're pushing it. Four, get out of here. Okay?
Right.
We don't have time for you. But we do have time for you, dear listener. Thank you for listening today. Today is, like I said, March 1st, brand new month. We're excited because that usually means warmer weather. Although it's been weird weather, so who knows? I don't know what the weather's going to do. For all I know, it'll be like that time I went. Last time I went to Vegas in April was the time we got stuck in the snow on the way home, which made no sense, right? Remember that?
Oh, yes, and you had to pee in a Starbucks cup.
I had to pee in a Starbucks cup because I had to pee in the middle of nowhere. And we finally stayed in some crap hotel in Beaver, Utah, on the way home. And we were wearing flip-flops and shorts. It was so stupid.
Right.
So we're going again in April, and I'm just like, okay, please don't do this. Because right there at the central point of the state where like Cedar City is and stuff, it's a high elevation. It's the highest elevation of the state. So even in normal springtime, sometimes it snows like crazy, and that's dumb. So can't wait, man. Can't wait.
It's going to be fine. It's April. Come on. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Just like last time, it was April. That's my whole point. It happened in April last time.
Listen,
so April means nothing in the end.
Have we not learned from the late, great Prince who said, sometimes it snows in April?
Oh, is that what he says?
He says that.
I think it's a cocaine reference. I don't know what he's talking about.
No, it was like a little tribute song to someone in his life who passed away, if I remember correctly.
You sure it wasn't? Sometimes it snows in April, or... my dealer has my 3 ounces of Coke. It's not that? No? Okay.
Oh, it could have been. It could have been. Who am I to say, right? Totally could have been.
Good point. Hey, lately there's been a lot of fast food talk on this show. Mm-hmm. And I could bring up...
We're even basing an entire TMS film fest on it.
That's true. It feels like it's kind of... for whatever reason, it's in the forefront of our minds. And there was news today that I guess Burger King's running some commercials that talk about how... their flame broiling is so real that it's actually burned down a few of their franchises.
this is an advertising campaign they're doing?
Yeah, actual advertisements for, I don't know where this is airing and I haven't been able to see one, but it was some stuff being talked about on Twitter
today.
It's
a weird joke. I mean, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be done in a tongue-in-cheek way, right? I mean, otherwise it'd be really morbid, like, yeah, we've actually burned a couple of our franchises down.
Exactly.
So they've got to do it in a tongue-in-cheek way. Which seems still like a weird,
yeah.
Hey, at Burger King, our flame broiling is so weird, so real.
Mm-hmm.
It's
odd, right? Very odd. If that's
in the immortal words of Karen from The Bachelor, I can't even.
I can't even. Oh, I love that. Even. I love that phrase where they don't.
Isn't that a great
it.
Phrase? I would just want to adopt that in my regular life.
I can't even.
Ugh. I can't even.
It makes me want to die when I hear it. So anyway, we've been talking about all this fast food, and yesterday Kim was at an Arby's. And she says, hey, I'm on my way home. I took Nick to Arby's for lunch. He just did his SATs yesterday. Do you want anything? And I said, ugh, Arby's. Me and Arby's don't get along normally. It's not really a thing.
Yeah, you've said it on this very show that you've had some Arby's malfunctions.
They just gross me out. I never feel good after something at Arby's. Like, that's just generally been my experience. Now, I don't want to poo-poo anyone else's fine experience at the establishment, but for me, it's never been that great. However, she says, they've got new stuff on the menu. I said, like what? She goes, well, they have a gyro here. And I said, oh, like the chicken one we had before. And she says, oh, yeah, I did give you one of those before. And I didn't realize that I had had a chicken, or turkey, I guess, sorry.
Arby's new chicken gyros.
That's what he would say. That's how
that guy would say it.
Exactly. That guy. I love that guy.
I kind of do, too.
He's pretty great. But she says, well, yeah, they got the beef one here. And I said, is it just their beef? She says, yeah, it's just their beef, their sliced beef or whatever. Mm-hmm. I said, all right, let's try it. Let's throw caution to the wind and try this Greek, historically Greek dish from an Arby's, okay?
From
and see
Arby's.
If it's any good. Yeah.
From a company whose original logo is a cowboy hat.
Yeah, a really bad cowboy hat.
Well, just a really tall one. Like, it's actually... just dawned on me. It's Pharrell's hat.
Oh my gosh, Pharrell's hat is Arby's hat. Oh my gosh, you're not kidding.
Wow. It is Pharrell's hat.
Yep, put some horsey sauce on that, Pharrell. So she brought it home, and it was really good. like I don't know what to even think about it. I was shocked at how much I liked it, and I want another one now, and I don't understand why that's good. That shouldn't be good, right?
It shouldn't be good. I mean, you wouldn't expect. Well, there you go, though. Let's take the word Arby's out of the equation. This isn't that far from the pho taco place in the mall that you wouldn't think would have the best tacos, but it's a pho place in the mall.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the only difference is I didn't have a preconceived notion of them before going in because they didn't exist, whereas
exactly.
Arby's
has...
So if
you take the word Arby's out of the equation, then there you go.
That's exactly the equation. You're right. I'm mm-hmm. so surprised by it. And the other thing that struck me, and I knew you'd appreciate this, the lettuce they used was just like the blimpy people used to use.
Oh, they had the best lettuce.
Like that stringy...
Yeah.
I don't even know what it
is. Very shredded lettuce.
Yeah, I guess it's just shredded, but it's just so good. It's like getting crushed ice instead of cubes. You're just like, oh, this is a better way to do ice. That's a better way to do lettuce, in my opinion.
Right.
Anyway, it was great, and I can't believe how much I liked it, and I'm shocked. And it came in a little pita thing and had like the weird white sauce stuff in there. And the
like a feta cheese kind of sauce or something?
A little bit, tomatoes and stuff.
Tzatziki sauce.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's the most authentic gyro I've ever had. Certainly not. But it just was fine. Like, it was just a good thing to put in my mouth and eat. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to recommend the Arby's gyros. They have them both turkey and beef. And even though I'm not I don't think you should be eating turkey at an Arby's. That feels like an odd thing to eat there.
Uh-huh.
It was fine. I think the beef was better. And then there's this other thing floating around. Oh, it's in the news. We'll talk about it in the news. But okay. Subway's got a new spotlight on them for some...
It's not a good spotlight
either.
No,
it's not.
It's funny, too, because on this very show yesterday, I was talking about Taco Bell. I mean, we were talking so much about fast food. I was like, I think I'm just going to go to Taco Bell. I ended up staying in for lunch and making a sandwich, and you had fast food, and Siv had Taco Bell based on us talking about it. And
yeah, I heard Siv had some problems, didn't he? Didn't he have a little stomach?
I think he had a little gastro business. Yeah.
Oh, Siv, we're so sorry that you followed Brian's advice and went out and got Taco Bell while he stayed home and made a sandwich. I think that's amazing.
Right. But I'm gonna do it today. Yeah. I'm gonna do it today. Okay. I'm gonna do Qdoba because they've got a new. Green Tabasco queso that I want to try.
That sounds all right. Remind me, Qdoba, that's like a...
It's a Chipotle, but...
It's like an off-brand Chipotle.
Chipotle, but you need less Chipotle afterwards.
Okay. Now, every time I hear about Qdoba, I hear it's good, and I keep being told that there's one here in Salt Lake, but I've never seen it. So I don't... Let's see, Qdoba. How do you spell that?
Qdoba.
Oh, it's not like... Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
Qdoba, $50 off.
No extraneous letters in Qdoba. They use every letter that they're given.
Locations
and
in Utah.
On a double word score.
We have trying to find one in Utah. Oh, there's one in Provo. That's where. That's why I never get out there. Is Provo.
Oh, Provo.
Yeah, there's a Provo one. I don't want to go to Provo. Freaking F that. Provo is either a bunch of dumb college kids or some old lady who's going to be offended. I don't want either of those things right now. So forget it. I'm not going out there to get that.
It'd be cool if the police department in Provo called themselves Provo Cops.
Provo Cops. They probably do.
Probably do.
Well, they're probably the PDD. Oh, no,
step
wait.
Out of your vehicle. I'm a Provo Cop.
They're the PPD. There you go.
You have 30 seconds to comply. I'm a Provo Cop. Drop your weapon.
What's your name, son? all right, so there's that, and I can't believe I'm recommending it, but yes, go try the Arby's Euro, and you'll be surprised. They also have a bunch of weird like signature sandwiches and stuff that look like they might be all right. So apparently they're up in their game. That's what I'm hearing, is that Arby's is taking stuff to a new level.
The only Arby's that was close to where I'm at turned into a really nice Starbucks that does like flatbreads and wine after a certain hour.
Oh wow! Did they keep the hat somehow?
No, they lost the hat a while back. I mean, there's only one Arby's that I know of here in Colorado that still has the hat, and it's the one that my grandparents always used to take me to. Like they, you know, I'd go over there to stay with them for the weekend, and sometimes we'd all get Arby's, and my grandfather, Hungarian grandfather, would always say, "Bring me back a hamchi, two hamchi." Which is how he would say ham and cheese.
A hamchi?
Hamchi.
Oh, that's great.
H-A-M-C-H-Y. Hamchi.
Oh, man, I wish I had. None of my grandparents were like first generation immigrants. And I wish they were, because I always wanted that. That like, hey, grandpa, do you need anything? You leave me alone. I am trying. I want that. I never had that. Instead, I had Korean siblings and one that barely knew English. And that was cool in its own way. But I really wish, I always wanted grandparents or some close relative who was like first time immigrant, and it never happened. You're lucky that way, man.
Yeah.
Hungarian yeah. Grandpa who's hungry for a
I feel like it at the time, but yes, I feel like I am. I do have it now.
Yeah, at the time you don't know, right? Because it's just
I feel grateful for that now, yes.
Yeah. Later on you can look back and go, oh, that was kind of a cool thing and kind of unique and whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, praise the Hungarian grandpas, everyone. So, also, everyone always says, oh, Scott, Kim, tell us how you've raised your children. They're all so wonderful. And all, we get that a lot. And I always kind of feel weird about that and kind of go, well, now, hold on. We still got a bun in the oven. There's still not a bun in the oven, but we still have a cook. Let's put it this way.
What are you making here on the show?
We still have cookies on the tray that are cooling. Let's put it that way.
I was going to say, yeah, there's still a bun at home.
Exactly. He's not in the oven, but he's cooling on the counter. Nicholas Johnson, my direct male descendant, who is now 16 and a great kid, just a great kid. He's thoughtful. He's kind. He's helpful. He's got great manners. He's all the things you want out of your kid. But he's a ginormous procrastinator and puts everything off to the very last minute. In some cases it's too late, and here's the problem. Now most parents would say, well, just tell him ship shape and get going, let's make this right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm this when I was his age. I was exactly this. I was the freaking worst. So
it's
part
hard
of it
to,
is
it
hard.
Is really hard to, well, although it's hard to discipline a child when you see them as doing the same things you did, although you'd think it should be easy because like, oh yes, don't, I lived through this, mm-hmm. and I know the problems that it caused.
Mm-hmm. And I know I can get through it.
Right.
Cause I did. And I'm better now, you know, than I was. And although you're right about all those things, but in the moment, I guess I now understand how my parents felt, because I think my dad was probably a little bit like that when he was younger, but as an adult, I drove him crazy with my procrastination and my, why didn't you turn that paper in? It was done for weeks. Oh, I just forgot. It was in my backpack. Right? Like that kind of stuff. Right. I was so lame when it came to that. And Nick is exactly the same. He's exactly the same. So we've been riding him for, you know, getting a certain makeup homework in. Oh, and here's the other thing. I don't know if other parents can commiserate with me that have kids in junior high and high school. It's so much easier now, dude. If you miss like a month of stuff because you're lazy or whatever, and then you go to your teacher and say, yeah, I need to get my grade up, they'll just give you ways to make it up.
Right.
When you and I were kids, you didn't have those options. If you blew it, you freaking blew it. You took the F. You know?
That's right. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, sure. Just do this one and I'll just give you an A.
Yeah.
It's really true. Yeah. I guess so.
no dope left behind kind of is what's going on. And so part of me is like, I wish they'd kind of stick it to him. The other part of me is like, oh, that's better than I had it. I wish I had a way to make up all that work I didn't do or whatever.
Right.
So anyway, bottom line is, he's just not, it's like, he wants Kim to do his laundry, but won't put his laundry where the laundry needs to go. He wants to not take a shower at night because that's lame. He wants to do it in the morning, but he'll get up too late to take a shower in the morning. He'll just go to school like a stinky, greasy kid or whatever. He's at that stage where his answer to everything is, Nick, did you take that stuff I told you to take out? Oh, I forgot. Oh, really? Sorry. Like the sorries are just like empty sorries. They mean nothing to me. So it's just, I'm at that stage, man, where I'm like looking at myself. It's like looking at myself in the mirror and going, oh my gosh, I'm talking to my 16-year-old self. What would I have told myself then? And the answer is nothing worked then. I didn't care.
I was going to say, it's not a matter of what would you tell yourself. It's like, do you remember anything that would have worked for you? Or what was the thing that got you out of being a procrastinator?
And I can't think, growing up and being mature and having to get a job and go to school and, you know, like
I think it's
life.
There's some big thing that you miss out on because you're procrastinating. That's like, oh no, I could have had a Nintendo Classic console, but I slept in too late, or I farted around all morning and didn't get off my butt and got one. Now I'm never going to get one because they're sold out and they're never making any more. Blah blah blah.
I told him if he gets a 25 or higher on his SATs, mm-hmm. I'll get him a Switch. So he's really motivated to score well on his test.
Wait, 25 or higher? Aren't SAT scores like in the hundreds?
No. They go to like what's the max? 36 or something? 30.
Oh, I thought it's like, oh, I scored a.
Or is it ACTs? I can't remember which ones we do here.
114 on my SATs. So it's ACTs. Okay.
ACTs, because it's almost like the rap of the 90s. We have, you know how you had Biggie in New York and you had Tupac on West Coast and it was the warring West Coast, East Coast rappers. It's like that with education. ACTs, SATs, I guess, are just divided by which end of the country you're on. Mm-hmm. And so I think the east side of the country takes SATs and the west side takes ACTs. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But I think the max is 30-something or 30 or someone in the chat.
That sounds a lot better. Yeah, because the SAT scores is like, I think you get 25 points on the SAT just for filling out your name in the top space.
I swear when I was younger, it was SATs when I don't remember now. But whatever the one was where like 30 was your max, that's the one he's taking. That's the one I took. Whatever that is. 36. I think that's right. So, and someone confirms that. Good news, 11. says, I think it's 36. I think I agree with him. Anyway, okay. It doesn't matter. Here's the point.
The 11th good news.
Yeah. If he gets, because my high, I had terrible grades because I hated homework, but I tested well. So as a smart kid, I just was lazy, right? Mm-hmm. So I got, like, I think mine was a 25. Most people I knew were doing like 18, 17, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So I felt pretty smart when I did mm-hmm. it. I didn't know anyone who had gotten higher than me, and I told Nick if he scores a 25 or higher, he gets a Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. I'll give him his own. It won't be for a couple months because I guess those test scores don't come back right away. So
sure.
I have time to see how this is going to go, but we'll see. We'll see. So I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to think. Well, if I was him, what would I want him to do?
Right.
I would want him to try really hard on his tests. I'd want him to score well. I'd want him to be. Even if his grades don't necessarily reflect it, I'd like him to be a smart, educated kid because mm-hmm. that can happen. There's plenty of examples out there in the world of people who are highly educated and knowledgeable and skilled that were dopes in school. So it's not about how smart he is. It's about how motivated he is to do the things people are giving him to do. So anyway,
sure.
All of that being said. Are you gonna
up it like if he gets 30 or higher, he doesn't get the silly red and blue Joy-Cons?
Yeah, I'll tell you. That's a good idea because it's a punishment to get those ugly Joy-Cons. What did you got the normal ones, right?
I get the normal ones. I glanced at those and said, I guess I could see how those would be kind of fun for doing, you know, two-player games where it's like, all right, Mario Kart, you're blue, I'm red, but whatever, you've got it in your hand. What color do you care?
Yeah, you don't care. Just
like, might as well get gray. Let's just get gray.
Yeah, get gray. I want some consistency in my life. I don't need mismatch. It looks like I have the wrong socks on. I don't want
to do that. Yes, it does. Exactly. With nothing else having that color, it does feel kind of
really weird.
Yeah.
For a half a second, I hovered over it, but I changed my mind at the last second.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I admit, I teased with the idea for a little bit.
Sure.
Anyway, so there's all that. That's what's going on. Procrastination Nation, everybody. Look out. All right. We probably ought to, I don't know, you think we ought to call Daryl or we just say F that guy? What do you think today?
We could really, we probably could do this without him and just imagine what he'd say.
Mm.
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, it
smells like beef.
I remember seeing this movie.
He can say this.
But, you know, I don't like hearing myself. Shut up, me.
He doesn't like hearing himself.
How can you screw up a hamburger?
I don't know. Let's answer that question for him. How can you screw up a hamburger, Brian? How would you do it? How would you screw up a hamburger?
But you know what we need is we need a contestant.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Someone needs to call in. Oh, and you know what? It'd be helpful if Skype is open because that's where the number comes in.
801-895-4724, because with the delay, it'll work out just fine.
Mm-hmm. 801-895-4724. Call now. That's your goal. That's your job. In the meantime, Daryl's here. Let's do it. Daryl's here. Hi, Daryl. What's going on? Hello?
Daryl?
He's there. Is he muted?
Daryl.
Daryl, you're muted. I didn't mute you.
Yeah. Unmute yourself, Daryl.
Yeah, you're muted there, buddy.
Unmute yourself.
Oh, now you're there. I hear you now. Do you hear us?
I didn't change anything.
Oh, well,
I don't think he hears us.
Do you hear us now?
Oh, I hear you.
Okay.
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 What is this going to be?
I don't know. Are you having internet issues there or something? What's going on?
I'm just on the doing the phone thing.
All right.
So whatever.
All right. You sound like you got people around you. Are you worried that you're going to get interrupted? Are there people hovering around?
No.
No.
He either sounds like he's got people around him or he's just like, I don't know, are you in an angry mood today, Daryl?
Yeah, what's going on, Daryl? You all right?
Oh, no, everything's fine.
Did you have ACTs or SATs? What was your standardized testing that you had when you were younger?
Oh, I don't even remember. Mm. But I think it was the low number, like 30 whatever, 20 whatever.
36.
Then it would have been the ACTs.
Yeah, ACTs or SATs. ACTs. Yeah.
ACTs. I was wrong, too. I said 200. I was thinking, like, oh, I got a 200 in English or something like that. Your total SAT score is somewhere between 400 and 1600 or something.
I wonder why someone in the chat. We have educators who listen to the show, so I'm sure that they would have a better answer than any of us would. But I wonder why most of the eastern half of the country uses one and the western half uses another. I don't get it.
I don't know.
East Coast, West Coast thing. All right, we're going to take a call as soon as it comes in and play a little game here. Let's find out who this caller is. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, this is Hans in Miami. What's going on, guys?
Hello, Hans in Miami. How are you?
I'm doing all right. This is Hans Stoppable in the chat room.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
You sound like you're in an echo room, some sort of bathroom type unit.
Am I? Is that better? Is this better?
Oh, that's much better. Yeah.
Being held against your will?
Okay, yes, it does sound like you're going to demand some demands here.
Concrete,
I like it.
Concrete box?
No worries. It's good to have you here. We're going to explain the rules, play a little game. Brian, what is it and how and what will he win?
Sure, I'll explain all that. Let me go ahead and get into a frame of mind where Hans can understand me.
All right,
so...
it didn't work, yeah. What's up with that?
Hold on. Got to get this working here. Oh, it's not working.
Oh, you were going to do Echo, and it was going to be fun.
It was going to be great.
I could feel it. I could feel how great it was going to be.
Check. Nothing. All right. My Echo button. All right. Well, whatever. Hans, in a moment, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question. He's going to give his answer. It's going to be a number. You know the rules. We're going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a Marvel Ice Cube tray and the game Super Fight. Yes, Super Fight, where you decide who would win in a fight between two random things, like a chicken with a chainsaw versus The Rock with a banana.
The description says this is a 100-card version of the viral card game Super Fight, designed exclusively for Loot Crate by Skybound. These cards are only available in this exclusive deck. Create hilarious fighters with these cards. Then argue over who would win in a fight between them.
Super cool. Your category today is the film Demolition Man.
Oh, Demolition Man. I like that movie. It's got your
Wesley Snipes as Phoenix something Phoenix. Yeah. River Phoenix is who he plays.
River Phoenix, yep. And who's your lady?
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock, yep. And they have the three shells. The VR sex and the three shells and the Taco Bells and all that. So that's your movie.
The three shells and the Taco Bells.
Three shells and the Taco Bells opened for me in the 80s. They were great. All right, Daryl, here's your question. Are you ready for the Demolition Man deal here?
Yeah.
All right.
The only reason I saw that is because I won tickets from a radio station.
What'd you think of it when you saw it?
I thought it was pure poo.
It's pretty poopy. I mean, it's great in its dumb way, but I saw it. We saw it recently. Well, not recently, but we saw it for FilmSac, and it was fun to revisit that and talk about the whole Taco Bell thing. Yeah, it was a good time. Here's your question, Daryl. In the film Demolition Man, John Spartan, a.k.a. Sylvester Stallone, gets frozen and put into cryo prison. He is later, by the way, he was fake in there. It was like a body double, not really him. So it was this really gross, like...
Yeah, it was like a wax statue of...
Naked statue Sylvester of him Stallone, squatting. Yeah. It's gross. Anyway, he later thawed out in the future. How many years was he frozen for? So he was in that cryostasis for how many total years? And your answer must be, I'll give you a hint, somewhere between 10 and 100 years.
Okay, so it's not like Futurama where it was 1,000.
No. Or like Illidan Stormrage where it was 10,000 years. It wasn't like that. It was much, much shorter than that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Long enough
for Taco Bell to win the fast food wars.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's it. That'll help you in your estimation. Or long enough for us to go, you know what? Who needs toilet paper? Get me three shells. I got an idea.
That's right.
Yep.
And Scott, welcome to typical teenager land.
Oh, typical teenager land. Is that what that? Well, I've had two of them before this one, so it's not like I hadn't been through
the boys
it.
Boys are different.
Boys are different. The two, I'm telling you, as much as we all were like, the genders are equal. The only difference is boobies and vaginas and penises. It's not true. Here's the difference between them. They're weird when they're kids, and they behave differently. Like, the girls had perfect grades the entire time. I'm not saying every girl does, but my two daughters, great grades. They had their own challenges in different ways, but they were just 4.0 students the entire freaking time. It was amazing. Nick comes along. He's like, meh, school, meh. I'm not getting up. Brr, I'll shower in the morning. Brr.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a boy thing. And I was that way too. Yep. Brian was a bit like that. We've talked about that before.
I totally was. Yeah.
I know Tristan's, had his stages like that. Like, it's a boy
Still
thing.
Still does.
It's a freaking boy thing.
Yeah.
So I get it. Yep. We want them all. I'm looking for equality in all of life's endeavors. But they're not equal in terms of, like, exactly who they are. What I'm saying is girls are better. Mm-hmm. Boys are lame. All right. Anyway,
fair enough.
Little rant there. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay. I am going to not reveal my logic because if I do, then you'll change something.
Oh.
So I'm going to say.
We will.
60. Yeah. Maybe I'll tell you someday. But anyway, 67 is.
67.
No, you gotta want to know. You gotta tell us now. What?
Yeah, you're pulling Johnson's Johnson here a little bit. Tell us. Well, yeah, do tell
67,
us why.
67, he says.
All right, 67 we'll hold on to, but what were you going to say before that? What was your method? Or you will tell us after if he gets it right or wrong.
Well, someday in the future. If I discover that this method is pure poop, then I will let you know.
Okay, so if it's pure,
if it keeps working, I'll just stick to it and not tell you.
It's a moving target. All right, 67 is his answer. Brian, does that match with the right answer?
67 is incorrect. Hans, Booby is the correct answer. And I think you do that every single time you're on.
Yeah.
Is the correct answer higher or lower than 67?
So I was gonna ask Brian for a new Hans joke because you do one every time, and I'm glad you didn't repeat this time.
Yeah,
that's outstanding.
Yeah.
So I really didn't even remember this movie until Scott just made the three shells reference, and that's I think the only thing I remember about this movie. So So, and I see Daryl going like, I'm going to guess, Daryl, is it like two-thirds? Is that what your method is here?
Oh, interesting.
6.66 right down, well, right down
was,
the middle.
I was easily found out.
Yes, you were easily found
what?
Out.
Oh, that was a good guess.
Jeez, you and your weird hiding your method there. That is not as nearly as cool as I thought it was going to be. All right, so you figured out his math. Do you agree with his math?
Well, it doesn't matter if he agrees strategy. Or not. It's wrong.
That's a good point.
I'm going to say, I don't think it's a lot in either direction, but I'm going to say that it's slightly higher than that.
Slightly higher than 67 is the answer. Let's find out if that is correct and check with the judges. Is it? Oh, no. He got it wrong. The answer is 36. Thanks for playing. You did good, Hans, there. But that's way down there. 36 is the correct answer. We haven't had a wrong answer in a while. He was originally frozen in 1996 and then thawed out in 2032.
So always go with one-third of Scott's range.
Yeah, always. One-third. Yeah, I don't have any trick to how I do the generalization. Like, there's no... I have
it's either
no
one-third or two-thirds.
Right. Yeah, I have no standard. I just look at it and go, well, what doesn't sound too crazy? And then say those numbers.
I think he's even done it where, like, the real answer was, like, one above the bottom end of his range or something like
exactly.
that.
Now, the Marvel Ice Cube Tray and the Super Fight game are in the prize pool to be added upon next time we meet up with Daryl, which will be Monday. So if you win that day, whoever may win, you too could take home that stuff plus stuff. So come on back for that. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And now he'll play a game with us. What is it, Daryl?
Well, I am going to read a part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Okay, so you say it's YouTube.
A YouTube.
All right, go ahead.
I can't even blank.
Didn't we do this already? Oh, no.
No.
It's because we just talked about it. I can't even
blank.
Isn't that the entire phrase we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, probably. I can't even seriously. I think the phrase finishes with "I can't even seriously."
I can't even. Yeah, you're probably right because it's just a continuation of this stupid phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going to be something.
I can't even. Okay, I'm going to say
it's not going to finish with what they can't even do.
Right. I'm going to say I can't even go there. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It seems possible, but probably not.
Sure.
Who got it right, Daryl?
Oh, I like that one. But the number one query result is I can't even walk.
Oh. Why is that a thing? Well, now I got to look. What's that about? Hold on.
I don't know.
YouTube.com. All right. So I can't even. Why is this being slow? I can't even walk. Oh, you're right. And is it a song? Okay, the top search result is Bill and Gloria Gaither. I Can't Even Walk live featuring Jesse Dixon, David Phelps, and Guy Penrod. and there's a bunch of other covers of it. So it's a song, I guess.
Wow, and it's apparently popular enough that it has covers.
Yeah, let's hear this. That number one. Wow, it's got 4 million views. Is this some kind of
Hillcocker, ladies and gentlemen?
It's some kind of gospel-y thing, it sounds like.
I can't even walk to your arms, Lord.
Oh my gosh. Daryl, well done. You've done your bit, and now you're leaving now.
And ga ga ga.
Ga ga ga. Okay, goodbye.
Ga. Giga.
All right. Now, what now? I know what. Not that. This right here. Oh, look, it's the news brought to you by
Coverville. Lucky Lou's having a birthday today. It's Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi turning 55, and Chris Martin from Coldplay turning the big 4-0. Woo! You would think that these two artists wouldn't go very well together, but when you paint over them with layers and layers of ska and blues and rock, you can make any two artists go together. So Coldplay and Bon Jovi together on the show today. That's 1 p.m. Mountain Time, the only time zone that matters, over there at coverville.com/live.
Sounds good. I like both of them individually. Why not together?
why not together? Two great tastes. They're the peanut butter in your chocolate.
Yeah. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jon Jovi.
He had a little budding acting career for like a hot 5 minutes, and then that went away.
Remember yeah, that? Was Stella got her groove back? Was he in that? It was something like that, right?
And he was in that submarine movie, U-571 or whatever it was called.
Right.
That was pretty cool. And some other stuff. So, good job.
Didn't he make an appearance in Young Guns 2, or was it just the music? I thought he was like, he made like a cameo in the movie.
He might have, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It was Young Guns 2, not 1, right? Because it had his...
One had his music as well, but I think they brought him in. I want to say they brought him in for 2.
Dead or alive. Slippery When Wet. That album was a big deal when I was a kid. So
yeah, it was.
Here we go. Subway. More fast food news for you, folks.
Okay.
They are concerned over a report that shows DNA tests, rather, show that its chicken is more than 50%... soy.
Oh, jeez.
Chicken may sound like a healthier fast food option, but customers who make that their choice at Subway might be in for a bit of a surprise. DNA tests have found that their chicken was actually half soy, and now the company is saying that it isn't the way the sandwich should be. Sub isn't supposed to stand for substitute in the name Subway, but Trent University and Canadian Broadcasting Corporation recently revealed that on average, Subway's chicken fillets contain 53.6% chicken DNA, and even worse, their chicken strips had only 42.8% chicken DNA.
So,
yeah,
the scary part isn't that their chicken is part chicken, part soy.
Yeah.
Because that, the scary part of this is the fact that they didn't know their chicken was part chicken, part soy.
Because
if they did know, this would be something they could, say our chicken is, I don't even know how you spin this in an advertisement, but it's basically like our chicken is healthier because it's
mostly chicken,
a special chicken soy blend that gives you that same chicken flavor with less calories or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't Don Draper this one.
It's somewhat chicken, they could say.
Yeah.
It's sort of like beef.
There's a woman. She's a housewife. It's so hard for me to do the Don Draper without slipping into Obama.
Yeah, it's impossible, actually, because immediately I thought of Obama.
Faded. A housewife is sitting there in her kitchen.
Eating chicken.
Eating chicken.
She's thinking, this is only half chicken. Now it's Obama again. I can't.
See?
It's going to happen every time. Tom DeLonge.
Hello there.
That guy. He is in the news again. In fact, let's play him because we owe it to him. Hold on. Hello there. Where is it? Hello there.
Hello there.
Hello there. Is that actually Tom DeLonge or the other guy? I don't even know.
I think that's Hoppus.
No, it's probably Tom. Is it Tom Hoppus?
No, Mark Hoppus.
Mark Hoppus.
Hello there.
Hi. It's good to see you. Anyway, the other guy who hasn't been touring with them because he's UFO freak now.
Right.
He won a UFO Researcher of the Year award. I don't know who gives this, but we're about to find out. His fascination with UFOs knows no bounds. His interest in such phenomena contributed to his parting with Blink-182, getting caught up with WikiLeaks, and putting out a series of fiction and nonfiction books about aliens. Now all that work has earned DeLonge the UFO Researcher of the Year award, awarded by Open Minds Productions, which touts itself as the International UFO Congress. It seems like a fairly prestigious thing as far as UFO awards go. In a video, Open Minds runs down DeLonge's list of accomplishments, and then they cut to him having a speech that, while fairly coherent, is laced with passages like this. All right, Brian, brace yourself. You ready?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Here's what he said. There is a lot I can't say, but there's some that I can. And I'm so appreciative that I've been acknowledged for this stuff, but I'm not done.
Hello there.
Okay, all right. Mark, come on. I'm trying to read here. I'm just like you guys. I spent 20 years up all night reading about Roswell, Deleuze Serpo, and Churchill and the crashes that were there. Nazis building craft there. Antarctica. What's on Mars? What's on the back of the moon? Anomalous structures. I mean, I've done all that, he says.
Hello there.
Then he says, I know it all. I've read all the same authors as you guys, hundreds of books. I look at all the same sites. I listen to all the same coast-to-coast stuff that you guys do. I'm the same, but I kind of used some of my notoriety to try something pretty ambitious, and it worked. The hell is he talking about?
And he ended with, turn the lights off, carry me home.
Yeah. Didn't we see them in, they were in BlizzCon a couple years ago? I felt like that was like the last time they were on stage together or something like that.
Yeah, would have been, yeah. It's funny how you look at the International UFO Congress, which basically has the same goal as SETI.
Yeah.
But SETI just feels like they're so much more legitimate.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, first of all, I mean, if you just listen to that, what he said in that thing, he's referring to a bunch of stuff that's unconfirmed.
Right. The dark side of the moon. And
even though we see the lights,
that the moon landing was totally staged.
We see all sides of the moon all the time during its cycles. It's only dark on the one side because that's the way it's turned at the moment. There's not something sitting there that's always there or always shifting around.
It's done with a rolling base. They have a rolling base on the moon that always is in the dark side.
I can't tell if you are ex-wrestler
Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura.
That's where you're going with it. Or who else?
I don't know. The other voice. There's something familiar about the voice.
Hello, brother.
It's another wrestler. Oh, no.
That's a brother. That's a wrestler of another color.
Of another mother's color. All right. Well, DeLonge, good luck with you, buddy. I hope
There's a satellite over there on the other side of the moon that's in a geosynchronous orbit with the moon. We never see it.
Was he into that stuff? Like the space stuff?
He's totally into that stuff.
I didn't know that.
And the government is trying to cover it up.
That's great. He doesn't like Trump, though, which I think is weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would have thought he'd have been all for this, but maybe not. All right, well, there's that.
Hello there.
Okay, go away now. We're done with the Blink-182 story.
People actually say that the chat room is largely disputing the fact that we don't see the other side of the moon.
Ever?
Oh, ever. The moon, we are always seeing the same side of the moon facing us.
That can't be right. Because it's in rotation, it's in its own rotation. We're in our own rotation. It may not be every day, but we're still going to get around to the back of it occasionally.
Many, many people are saying no.
I've heard that phrase before. Many people are saying
the moon actually is rotating so fast you can't see it.
Is that true?
The Sea of Tranquility is actually a secret government laboratory where they're doing experiments to merge mice with people.
That implies that the light side of the moon is a complete synchronicity with any time we can view it. That doesn't make sense.
Sure.
It doesn't make any
sense. Why wouldn't that make sense?
Because it's rotating also.
It doesn't have to. Just because it's out in space, Scott, doesn't mean it has to rotate.
It does. I guarantee you.
You've been playing too much Asteroids.
Listen, I have this little space simulator I do play called Universe Sandbox. It's awesome because it's all these physics-based rules in place that hold the universe together, but then you can zoom in and dick with it. So, like, I can go, here's the Milky Way, here's the sun, here's all the planets. I'm going to make the sun slightly larger. Okay, I do that, and before you know it, Mercury is like burning to death. The Earth is starting to get all brown and like it's turning into Fury Road. It's awesome. And then if you make the sun smaller, suddenly ice is covering everything. That's great. And then you can do things like throw the moon out of orbit, and what does it do to the tides, and then you start having flooding.
While you were talking about your silly video game, Discover Magazine. For starters, the moon is not stuck in place with one side facing us. Our lunar companion rotates while it orbits Earth. It's just that the amount of time it takes the moon to complete a revolution on its axis is the same as it takes to circle our planet, about 27 days. As a result, the same lunar hemisphere always faces Earth.
Okay, but if we're... Wait. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
So the moon is rotating along with the Earth's orbit in the same.
Right.
In the same. So we do always see the same face.
I'll bet that slowly over time, though, because it's not exactly, it even says approximately or roughly.
Right. Right, I'll bet 27 days, yeah.
Over time, I'll bet it shifts. And we'll get to see the whole thing because a little sliver will be here this time and a little more of that sliver will be there and the thing will just rotate. It can't be that it's exactly the same square footage of the moon that we only have visibility on. That's ridiculous.
Fake news, Scott. Fake news.
It can't be. It just can't freaking be. I don't buy it. I'll have to look up more. I have to learn more.
I bet you won't have to. I will bet that the flood of emails that come to... themorningstream@gmail.com.
All right. If you guys are going to send those, send them with real data. I want hard data, not just approximately or roughly. I want more. I need more. Right. Because there's going to be more.
Daryl is messaging us. Oh, my God. All the messages from Daryl all of a sudden.
All right. Let's look at Daryl. He says, far side is correct, not dark side. The moon rotates at the same rate as the earth. Read my tweets and you'll always be informed. Messages, not tweets. What?
No, it doesn't really help us. Sorry.
You didn't really give us any new information, Daryl.
Right.
all right, well, we'll watch for more coming from him and further as the show goes on. Who knew there'd be you know what the big controversy is? Those Berenstain Bears things,
right? Oh, how many emails have we gotten about that and tweets about the Berenstain Bears versus the Berenstain Bears?
Yeah, and all the like conspiracy theories around that. It's just the
weirdest
thing.
Even really bears.
It's like, here's the conspiracy in a nutshell. They believe that
they're actually cavemen that have been uncovered in a frozen glacier.
They look like ferrets.
And they've been kept in a secret facility over there near Area 51.
Nailed it. It says here, they believe that the name of the books was actually Berenstain at one point, and we've shifted. But we, meaning us, humanity, has shifted into a parallel universe, an alternate timeline, where the title of the books is the Berenstain Bears. They call it the Mandela Effect. And there's way more to it than that. I read through this. It's ridiculous. They think that we have shifted into an alternate universe where the books are spelled differently.
Gotta love that.
Ugh. All right.
All right. The cat has somehow made her way onto the top of the standing desk.
That's what you want. That's what you need.
Let's continue with the news here. And now she's going to knock over my lamp. Don't do it.
Jesus toast in the news. Jesus toast.
Oh, yum. Okay.
Yep. Sounds good. Man in Wyndham. It's in England. Believes a holy depiction has graced his piece of buttered toast. George Malley's son, Andrew, told the news center, I thought Dad was lying. I thought it was completely fake. And then he showed it to me, and my mind was blown. Both men say you can see the face of Jesus in this photo. So, chat room, here's the photo. Let's have a look-see.
Okay.
This might be video. I don't want it to be video. Pause that.
Oh, very much video.
Yeah, but there's a photo down here. All right, here you go. Yeah, again, I would... sure, the way human brains work is we see patterns in things. And yes, it looks like there might be a dude with a beard and a mustache and hair on there. But if you really look at it, it also looks like maybe Jesus is a transformer because his body looks like a motorcycle to me.
It kind of does, right? It's like a caricature that you'd get at the state fair. I really like motorcycles.
Yeah.
And it's so it's Jesus is a motorcycle.
It's so dumb. Here, everyone do this experiment for me. You go outside, find a big piece of cardboard, take some paint and splatter it, and then tell me what you see. You're going to find like 10 patterns. And then someone else is going to see totally different ones than you are.
So here's the problem though. Like when it's just toast, it's like Jesus is in toast. Mm-hmm. Things are a little bit better because all right, I can sell this on eBay, but this is buttered toast. We're really seeing Jesus in the butter more than we're actually seeing him in the scarred or charred part of the toast.
So
sure, he's keeping it in his freezer right now to maintain it, but if you're putting this on eBay, doesn't it eventually have to go in the mail? And I guess he could pack it in dry ice or something.
Well, I don't know if that's his plan or not, but yes, if he wants to try to sell it, he'd have to do that, but I don't.
Isn't he putting it on eBay, or is that?
I think you're thinking of the Cheeto from.
Oh, here it is. He's hoping to sell it on eBay and use the profits to help his two sons.
Oh, you're right. Oh yeah, that's not going to work. I'm with you. That's going to smear all over the place. You're done.
Right.
It's not even going to last in the freezer, I don't think. It says here, "Judge the face of Jesus on the toast." He says, "It was an answer to a lot of questions I had." Says George Malley.
I can't believe it's not Jesus.
Even if it was just a brief image, it's still a sign and it points in the right direction. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, humanity, what are you doing?
Curious.
Go out and do Jesus things. I'm all for that. Go out and be good to your neighbor and help people and feed the sick and help the poor and all that. Go do those things. But if you're spending all your time trying to see his face in your food, mm-hmm. you're not doing anybody any good.
That's right.
That is like anti-Jesus in a way.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't look like he's got the eBay auction up. Because I'd be curious to see if there's already bids on this and what his promise is, how he's going to get it to you with the... without the butter melting.
I think he took it out of the freezer and went, oh, it kind of looks like... Oh, no, what's that singer? Like, who's the singer who used to do...
Michael McDonald.
No. No, but
oh, Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins, yeah. That's
now it looks like Kenny Loggins on a motorcycle.
Kenny Loggins from his what do you call it, era? His Top Gun era or something.
His Top Gun, yeah.
Great. It's Kenny Loggins.
Caddyshack era.
It's Kenny Loggins on Tom Cruise's motorcycle. It's a sign, everybody. It's a sign. moving on. Final story. A married man is shocked to find himself on a dating site. Now, you might go, really?
Oh, no, I'm shocked to find myself on Ashley Madison.
How shocking. I don't know how it happened. But it says this. After decades of being happily married, Thomas Purcell said he couldn't believe when his sister told him he was on a dating site. My sister told me her friend saw me on Zoosk. That's a dating site, Zoosk. I don't know what
Zoosk.
That is.
Yeah, that sounds sexy.
Yeah,
Zoosk. Where'd you meet your wife? Zoosk.
Zoosk. Oh, I met mine on Match.com. Where'd you meet yours? Zoosk.
I found her in a special section of Zoosk's butthole. It's my Nicolas Cage reference.
That's pretty good. I knew it right off the bat. I knew it.
What in the name of Zoosk? Anyway.
Zoosk butthole. it says, I hardly ever check my email, so I'm not sure how the photo ended up on the site. However, there's a happy ending to the story. Don't hesitate to call the company and tell them to take you off immediately if you don't get so you don't get your email bogged down with catfishing. Never heard of that. Is that a thing? Mm-hmm. Catfishing?
What? You've never heard of catfishing?
No. I mean, I know about catfishing. Like fishing for catfish.
Yeah, no. Okay, so, wow. All right. There was even an MTV show called Catfish about this very thing where people would pretend to be someone they're not on a dating site and string somebody along.
Who's the weirder person? The one that watched MTV's Catfish?
Well, I never saw a single episode of Catfish, but Catfish is like it's a term.
I'd never heard it. That's brand new to me.
Have you heard of Manti Te'o?
No, never heard of that.
He is a...
Well, that's a person.
College football player
uh-huh.
who was very notoriously catfished and even like
thanked
his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Fake girlfriend on.
No, that's right. She was, yes, I remember that, but that was tied to this somehow?
That term is catfishing.
Oh, okay. Which is just like.
It's not even, I mean, this is like a well-known term.
I'd never heard it. It just never comes up in conversation with me, I guess. Penshell, okay. Peshell, whatever you say his name is.
Peshell.
Said he called Zoosk, 1-800-Zoosk, and they took down the fake photo. His his wife Denise.
Hello, Zoosk.
Yeah, Zoosk. Hello, is this Zoosk?
Hello, is this Zoosk?
Hello, this is Zoosk.
Can I speak to Zoosk, please?
This is him. Take me off your profile. Okay. He's Paul Stanley now.
Apparently so.
His wife, Denise, said she laughed about the situation. Quote, I say if anyone wants him, they can have him. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh,
that's a
now we know who put his profile on Zeus.
Yeah. Now we know how it happened, lady. You've let your cat out of their bag. All right. That's going to do it for for that. Let's take a break, do some music, and come back with who's on today. Oh, I guess Nicole's out today. She's at the doctor with the kid to get a little ear infection.
Yeah. So it's just two of us and our recommendals.
Yeah, so we have those, but then Tom will be here. So come back for that. In the meantime, music, what do you got?
I've got something from Nick from San Diego. He emailed in and said, so I have a bunch of talented friends that I know because they used to work as an Alice in Wonderland themed cover band at a well-known amusement park in Southern California.
Can't imagine.
It's a place where it was a real adventure to go there.
Just can't imagine what this might be.
I added that last part. Although the show was canceled earlier this year, many of the 30-plus band members still work around the parks and have put out some really great music. Today, I'd like to present Dan Franklin for In the Middle. He's recently completed a successful Kickstarter project and recorded a fantastic album called The Best Ride of Your Life. The Kickstarter was so successful that Dan was able to record parts of the album at Abbey Road and Real World Studios. Whoa. The album features a wide variety of music styles, but I think Mask would fit the show best because it's a superhero rock song. But as always, I'll leave it in your capable hands. Nick from San Diego.
Nice.
And he got permission, and he actually was the videographer. He filmed the show they did for all 4 years, or they all did for 4 years, and it was a huge part of his life and helped him make positive life changes. It's really cool. So super, super cool of you to write in about this, Nick, and to reach out to Dan Franklin and get permission. The album is called The Best Ride of Your Life, came out last year. And if you are a fan of Jonathan Coulton and you're eagerly anticipating his next album, which is set to come out this year,
it's about time.
You'll find that this thing is kind of in the same vein. It's kind of got that subject matter that Jonathan Coulton liked to tackle about supervillains and villains and what it's like from a soft rock perspective to be a superhero. This is the song Mask by Dan Franklin.
Shooting lasers from my eyes.
Once again, Mr. DeMille. There's a sensational new team in motion pictures, ladies and gentlemen, which we bring to the Lux Radio Theater next Monday night. Grace Moore and Cary Grant. Our presentation, a play based on Belasco's immortal production, Madame Butterfly.
We're going to need a new plan.
You guys want some sandwiches? This is the morning stream.
I do want a sandwich.
I do too. I'd go for a sandwich. Mm-hmm. Whatever kind you want, I'll take it.
Thanks.
Sounds really
good
to me.
Thanks, Scott Fletcher. Be right here.
Right here for you, buddy.
All right. Well, that's just lovely. We should now do this. And we don't have her here, but I'm playing it anyway. Normally when Nicole's here, we do something called Recommendals, and it's stuff we're watching on streaming services that we want to recommend to people listening to the show, and today's no different. So we're going to start, as is the grand tradition, with Brian Ibbett.
That's right. So this is something that that I checked out on Netflix. I don't want to say much more about it, because I think the clip speaks, the edited, filthy, dirty clip speaks for itself.
All right, here it is.
You see some of the others using the slapping technique. You wouldn't do that with this. It's too stiff.
I like I have knocked drinks over. I have hit people in the face with I don't know whether it's an accepted way of doing it or not. It's just very satisfying.
I've tried a couple of different ways of and I quite like this one. Since I've discovered this way of doing it, sorry, look out for flying d**k, seen my breath improve massively.
Man, those beeps were on point. Woo.
They were a little loud, weren't they? Yeah. I just am now realizing that.
Well done, though. I'm going to assume this is the new seasons of the Great British Bake Off, or the baking show, or whatever they call it now on Netflix.
That's right, yeah. The Great British Baking Show Season 2 just got added to the Netflix lineup. So we've got a whole new batch of contestants, and we have Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood. Mm-hmm. If that is your real name.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
or
that guy.
Until his scandal comes about.
So it's already happened, right? Didn't it?
Well, yeah,
happen?
But I mean, in the series, you know, when he gets swapped out. But
Right. Didn't he have an affair with the American presenter lady or something?
I think that's exactly right. Yeah.
That's the deal. Yep. So how is it compared to season one? Do you like
good.
It?
Good. There's, you know, you right from the first episode, you've got your younger contestant who's cute, and you're just kind of rooting for her because she seems really sweet and cute and nice. Mm-hmm. And you've got your older technical guy who wants to, I'm going to use a particular kind of Moroccan flower that rises in a specific way and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Probably the biggest side effect of this show is the fact that it makes me want to just bake lots of things.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome side effect, actually.
Yeah,
I think that's great. Yeah. And Mary Berry, she's still sort of like,
that's a lovely bit of loveliness with the lovely.
Like that.
It's such a delicate sponge and no soggy bottom. You've done very well.
You've got the two other women with their delightful pantsuits.
Yeah. With their short hair and their pantsuits. Got it.
No judgment.
No, not at all.
And, yeah, it's great. It's just more of the same.
All right. Well, I liked the first season. I know that there's plenty more of these. There's like 10 seasons or something in Britain.
Yeah.
But we just get them slow. We get them
they
slowly.
They stole them out very, very sparingly on mm-hmm. Netflix.
Yeah, but I really like that first season, so I'm excited to get in mm-hmm. and watch that. Yeah. Fine recommendation. Mine today is a little more along the lines of, well, actually, I don't know. It's kind of documentary as well in the way that the baking show is. It's not meant to be a dramatic interpretation or a comedic interpretation of anything. However, it is pretty funny. I'll play the clip. You figure it out. Here you go.
For centuries, life's big questions have challenged some of the world's greatest minds. The need for love, marriage, and lifelong commitment. The yearning to reproduce, and the survival of the human race. The search for a vocation, the desire to find happiness, and the inevitable death. But Carl Pilkington has not given a second thought to any of these issues.
This cat's cross-eyed. I've never seen that before.
Now he's turned 40, he thinks it's time he did. He's traveling around the world to see how other people deal with life's big questions.
We've had the Iron Age, the Stone Age. This is the about age.
Okay.
Yay! Yeah. I had no idea there was a new one of those.
All right, so it's a different show, but it's basically the same thing.
It's Carl Pilkington and his perfectly round head.
Yeah, it's just there's no Ricky Gervais, there's no Stephen Merchant. It's completely, that's all gone. It's called The Moaning of Life.
Okay.
And it's a very similar to the one they did previously, which was Idiot Abroad. Yeah. And it's 2 seasons, I think, maybe 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're short seasons, though, but that's British for you. You know, they always do short stuff.
You're right. Series. It's a series, Scott.
it's really great. It's everything you want that to be. It's very funny. If you like that stuff at all, he's hilarious. And the different things he sees and does and tries are all equally hilarious. And it's a little naughty. Like, I wouldn't recommend the kids watch this necessarily. There are moments of, like, he's in a... You know, the people who get body painted up to look like certain things that are like animals or whatever.
Right.
He goes to one of those, and there's lots of naked people in that, which is, you know, again, nothing sexual, but it's all very like they're naked.
Part of what made the first the Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant ones great were that they were kind of they were the monsters behind the whole thing. Like, he was completely unwilling to do anything, and they would kind of set up these horrific experiences for him. So does he have someone doing it for him as part of this? That
there's no like sure that there's nobody that you call back to or talk to or anything like that.
Okay.
But he's constantly in situations he does not want to be in.
Okay. Like, it's, so this still has we still that. Get the unwilling. He's not all of a sudden decided that life in experiencing the world's adventures is not the thing for him.
Right. I get the feeling, I could be wrong, but I get the feeling that there may have been some big separation between all those guys, because Merchant Gervais have not worked together for years now, not since Extras have they done anything together. They don't do any of the podcast stuff together anymore, and even the David Brent movie that came out,
Merchant
and he was a co-creator of David Brent, so he was nowhere to be seen, and no one will say anything, but it appears there was some sort of falling out. And the fact that neither of them are at all involved in this new Pilkington thing makes me think that maybe something's up. So who knows? But it's really funny, and I love it. It's great background stuff. I love grumpy British people. It's my favorite thing in the world. So check it out. All up there on Netflix right now. The Moaning of Life, it's called. And it's a good time. It goes to India, China, Japan, all that stuff.
Ricky and Steven and Carl are all part of or co-founders of Risk Productions, RSK or RISK, that is the, I think, I'm looking it up right now, but I think the show Moaning of Life might be,
it could be a production of that.
So they might still just be like partners who just don't talk to each other.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean,
this one isn't under the Risk Productions. Only Idiot Abroad is
interesting. It's very similar. Like, it clearly, see, and that's the weird thing about it, is it feels like, well, that was really successful, but if there was a falling out between Steven and Ricky, maybe he was just like, well, I still want to do this, so I'll go figure out another way to do it. We'll have a different name, they won't be involved. Like, that's how this feels. But it's great. He's great. And I like it a lot. People should check it out. It's The Moaning of Life, Netflix, available now. Nicole will be with us next week. Don't worry about her. She's never out. She's never down but out. No, wait. You're down but not out. That's what I meant.
Right.
Yes. Is that what
Whatever
I'm trying to say?
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's what I meant to say. And
we'll just do another free for all week until Nicole gets back.
Yeah. She'll like that, because that's what she was going to do anyway. Kind of like free for alls anyway. It's easy. I don't have to try to track down.
It's something. So much easier, yeah. Because one more thing that I have to watch every week, in addition to getting ready for 2 music shows and all that.
That's a good point.
And a movie show.
Yeah, and a movie show on the weekends, which we don't have this week. Instead, we're doing an episode of the short-lived
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What is it called? The
Ninja. Was it just
Ninja
called
Turtles,
Ninja Turtles?
The Next Generation. No, the. It was the Sevening.
Yeah, because it was a Saban production, which is those people that did Power Rangers, right?
Right, yeah.
It's really good. You guys are going to have to check that one out when it comes out.
Oh my God, yes. We can't wait to watch more of those episodes.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. All right, check it out. There's this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man, the sweatshirt, the legend. Tom Merritt, everybody.
The comfiest sweatshirt in podcasting.
That's true. Is that one of the ones? I have one of those, I think.
Yeah, this is the Daily Tech News Show one, but the Morningstream ones are the same model in there.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Ooh. DailyTechNewsShow.com has a link to a store where you can actually buy one of those, everybody. So if you're a fan of the tech show, I recommend it. Tom is here. It is Wednesday. That means technology. Ahoy, everybody. I'll be on the show later today, 2:30 Mountain Time. Very excited about that, as always. But we check in with Tom in the morning to see what kinds of tech stories are brewing. Tom, anything of note?
Yeah, a bunch of stuff today. Yesterday, we actually talked about it on DTNS yesterday. YouTube announced their YouTube TV offering is coming this spring. It's a little bit of a weird announcement because they didn't really show off the app. They didn't give a lot of the details you might expect about when you can order. They did start a page where you can be notified by email when it actually launches. And it's only got the major broadcast networks and their cable companies. Mm. So for instance, NBC, it's ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. So that includes Sci-Fi, which is an NBC network, FX, which is a Fox network, ESPN, which is an ABC network. So it's got big networks, but it doesn't have any of the others. No Viacom, no Turner, no AMC, no A&E networks. So no TBS, no Comedy Central, et cetera, et cetera. Right. $35 a month. Six users profiles and three simultaneous streams, and all the YouTube Red originals are part of that as well as access to YouTube content.
Okay, so clearly meant to compete with AT&T's new offering with Sling, with PlayStation Sling, View, and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the only concern I would have is I'm trying to think what would be missing if these are just the main broadcasters and their network, their cable networks, and maybe there's not much missing. Maybe that's mostly what I want.
You're not going
to
get Walking Dead.
Oh, no AMC.
And by the way, this thing has an unlimited DVR, so that's good.
Okay.
You're not going to get Conan. You're not going to get NBA off of TBS and TNT.
Will I not?
Doesn't have any of those weird ancillary networks, you know, stuff like the MLB network or, I don't know, tennis network, stuff like that. Mostly sports networks.
A little worried about, well, I mean, I don't know. On the one hand, my PlayStation View only gives me one of the four major networks, but I get a ton of cable stuff that this doesn't have. On this case, I would get all of the major networks and their associated channels.
Well, and they say local broadcasts. They also said, and when you signed up, this was not in their announcement, when you signed up, it said, we'll let you know when it's available in your region. So I don't think this thing's going to launch across the United States all at once, possibly.
Good point. No CNN, TBS, TNT, History, AMC, A&E, Comedy Central, HBO.
And here's the other thing about PlayStation View is you don't get all the networks streaming in every area because they have to make deals with the local channels, but you do get on demand.
Yeah.
So you do, even if ABC isn't streaming in your region, you can go in and get ABC on demand.
Right.
So it's weird. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know if the YouTube's going to be all that different. You know, they may be saying CBS and then it's only CBS on demand because your local CBS station isn't part of the deal.
Yeah. Because the local affiliate stuff always plays a role in these deals, right? Always. There's no way around
and
it.
If people don't understand why that is, essentially there are local affiliates that are owned by the networks, right? And so there is a negotiation that happens to happen there, but it's an easier negotiation because it's within the company, right? The local station says, look, we need to make sure we get some money out of this deal so we don't lose viewers and lose advertising dollars. And if the station is just an affiliate and not actually owned by the network, then it wants a little more, right? Because it's not getting the benefit of being owned by the network in the first place.
Right. So, I'm just trying to think. I'm not sure this stacks up for me. Like, I think it sounds okay. This seems like a decent entry into this burgeoning field, but I'm looking at this, comparing it to what I'm getting with View, and I'm not sure this is much better for me. It feels like it feels like if you're a loyal YouTube person or you feel like the addition of Red, which, again, by the way, a little brand confusion across the board for YouTube stuff, I think. Like, YouTube Red, YouTube Gaming, YouTube streaming service, some TV thing.
Right.
Like, it's just
Google Music.
Yeah, it's all very... I think they're making some weird missteps with that, and just in terms of messaging. But I don't know if I'm ready to give up View for this, or, you know, I mean, maybe... The nice thing about all of these is they're non-contractual, so I can switch around anytime I want. But yeah, I don't know. And we don't know what the app looks like. That's the other thing. You mentioned that earlier, but until we see that, I guess we won't know.
The fact that it's got FX is a plus, but AMC is a requirement for me. So gotta have my Walking Dead. Want my Legion, my Walking Dead.
Yep.
But here's the thing. If you didn't get the promotional pricing for DirecTV Now, this is definitely the cheapest way in to the four major networks, and they're promising unlimited DVR. Now, the proof's in the pudding again, if there'll be any like, well, it's unlimited DVR, except you can't DVR this channel because we don't have the deal with Sci-Fi or whatever. That happens sometimes. But if it is unlimited DVR, then you can sort of look at it and say, okay, I got to have my Walking Dead, but I can pay $35 and get all the Walking Dead episodes, you know, from Vudu or iTunes or Amazon. I might have to wait a day, but it still could be significantly cheaper if you don't have that many of those kinds of shows.
And it is the reason I'm hesitant to get rid of DirecTV Now, because I did get in on that promotional pricing. And, you know, right now I'm getting the cheaper HBO through that, but they still don't have DVR functionality. And it's really, I'm really close to saying, I think I might be done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if they were to turn around and give me DVR functionality in the next 60 days, I'd probably switch them, or, you know, stay with them and turn off PlayStation.
Well, that's the trick, right? Because they promised that. They just, it's just not out.
They haven't done it yet.
Literally, it's not out. They've just said that they're planning on it. This is interesting. This Business Insider article posits this. They say the thinking that is, while YouTube won't necessarily convince established customers to ditch their $100 plus a month cable packages, they might convince young people to sign up for pay TV for the first time, saying its market share of YouTube is uniquely suited to the chase. 26% of teens watch YouTube every day. I don't think 26% of teens have $35 of expendable cash every month.
I mean,
that's weird.
That certainly is what YouTube would like to think. I don't know how many people who get YouTube for free, or maybe are willing to pay $10 a month to get rid of ads and get YouTube Red programs, are willing to say, oh, well, I'll also pay $35 a month in order to get this other thing.
Yeah,
right?
I don't buy it. I think that's a misreading of the market. And that may be more Business Insider saying, you know, extrapolating what they think YouTube is thinking.
Oh, it is. Yeah. No, that's Business Insider saying, hey, this is probably what YouTube's thinking, but they're probably not wrong.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, anyway, I guess we'll find out. I have a question about PlayStation View. Maybe either of you can answer this. Because I haven't really messed with much of the on-demand sort of DVR stuff, really. It's mostly been Kim watching her food shows on there, to be honest. Occasionally me with something. But can I, like, I've missed the entire season of Walking Dead outside of the premiere this year. Can I just go back and watch any of those episodes anytime I want? Or is that not part of the deal?
I think the last four or something.
Is that how it works?
Well, it depends on the channel. And I don't recall off the top of my head what the deal for Walking Dead is. But depending on the channel, there may be on-demand versions of everything.
Okay, all the way through. All right. I just need to look,
if you,
I guess,
set a DVR recording, you only get the past 28 days. That's what Ibbot's referring to, and that's absolutely right. But if the channel provides on-demand versions, you might be able to get older episodes. The thing is, you'll have to watch commercials.
Yeah. It's just a reminder, we live in a time when I have so many things to distract me that it actually sounds like work to go look and see.
Right?
Which is weird.
You might actually end up just buying the season. Yeah. Kind of what we're,
I caught up on Angie Tribeca that way, where I would go back and find it in the TBS on demand archive, and it was fine. Normally, it was like the old days of Hulu before I paid to go ad free on Hulu, where it's like sometimes there wouldn't be an ad at all, sometimes there'd be one, sometimes there'd be two. It kind of depended.
And sometimes it's always the same ad. I used to hate those Hulu days.
That didn't happen a lot, but sometimes.
Yeah. Well, all right, this is all good. We'll talk more about this and other things later today on the Daily Tech News Show. It's Switch week, so that'll be interesting throughout the week. I'm excited to see the kinds of feedback you get on the show from a tech perspective about Nintendo's new device. So all this stuff in the offing. Anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
Well, Samara Lin from Black Enterprise Tech, and who has written a lot of networking reviews for places like The Wirecutter and PC Mag, will be on the show. Not Black Enterprise Tech, Black Enterprise Magazine. She's the technology editor there.
Yep.
She'll be on the show to answer your questions about home networking, Scott.
I know
you've been wondering about this.
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk home networking with Samara today on the show.
Yeah, getting your lights to turn off when you tell them to, and how that jives.
Smart homey home stuff. Nice.
And I'm really slow to get into that because it, again, sounds like work, and I want to know how much not work it is. I mean, it's probably a lot less work than I think it is, And I'm very excited to talk to her. So that'll happen today, 2:30 Mountain Time. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Daily Tech News Show. Oh, yes. You got your book. Hold that up. Look at this, everybody. Yeah.
This, I actually got a physical copy of it finally after being tortured by all the people getting theirs before me. turned the out.
The author probably should be one of the first people to get a copy of their own book.
Just to make sure Inkshares doesn't get the shade for this, it was my UPS store changed how they notified me of shipping.
Oh.
They used to put a little note in my box. And so for 2 weeks, I was going in like, oh, no, no, I guess I don't have any packages. They're like, oh, no, we just email you now.
Mm.
And I was seeing emails, but I was assuming that emails were incorrect or spam or something. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, man.
I'll remember that next time. But anyway, Pilot X is out for Inkshares backers and comes out March 14th for everyone on Amazon Kindle, on audible.com, at Barnes & Noble, at the UCLA Student Union Bookstore, all over the world. So take a look.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. And the reviews have been tight. Well done, Tom. We'll talk to you later today. Take it easy.
Thanks, man.
Ace Detect on Twitter. All right. That's going to do it for the show. Coverville today.
Yeah.
1 p.m. Mountain.
Yeah, be there for that. Right, and you get your Coverville, and then right after that, boom, DTNS. It's like the...
it's like an open face sandwich. Mm, another
right.
sandwich.
It's like Cheers going right into Seinfeld or something.
50% soy chicken sandwich.
Mm.
I like Subway, too, so I'm a little bummed about that news, but I don't usually get chicken, so maybe I don't care. I don't know. What is their beef content? Am I just...
God, who knows?
Am I just eating mad cow's disease by the slice or what? What am I getting?
Doesn't it feel weird that... We're doing DNA testing on our fast food meat.
It's a little
just
weird.
The whole thought of that seems a little odd.
Yeah, just the fact, it's a reminder that what we're eating is the flesh of another creature, right? When they say DNA, right. DNA testing to confirm the source, you're like, oh yeah, we're eating the flesh of a beast. And then I'm going to get emails from all the vegans and vegetarians who want to tell me why that's bad. That's fine. Hey, look, I just like a nice big piece of beef when I need it. That sounds wrong, and I won't say it again. Hey, we're done, everybody. Big thanks to everybody for joining us. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. We'll have links to everything there that you might ever need, the ways to contact us and so on. You can sponsor segments, and you can find our link to our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS, where you are able to help us support this show. Without you, literally, there's no show. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, there's no show without you. So thank you, everyone who does. Consider doing it if you haven't. Take us to the next levels. We love you.
That's right, especially since first of the month, this is when we see all that. So you guys are awesome.
Yeah, you guys are the best. You guys are the best. Literally, we survive on you and your kindness. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everyone. Brian, let's leave them with a song.
You know, the chicken that they're selling at Subway is part chicken and then part material that allows the government to control your mind.
Chemtrails. That's the stuff.
Adam wrote in, said, hey guys, love the show. My girlfriend and our two kids are driving to Chicago on Friday to see some of her family. My girlfriend Jen knows I listen to the show, but she's never listened to a whole episode with me, just the occasional bits that I think she would enjoy. Yeah. This will be our first vacation as a family. We are really looking forward to it. I would love it if Brian could play some cover of Michael Jackson, Ani DiFranco, or Cake, or a cover of the song Runaway by Del Shannon. Love the show, though. Adam from Jasper. I've been a caller on Hotline Monday twice. P.S. This is kind of a double request. We have two boys. The youngest, Seth, will be 2 on March 23rd. And a quick shout-out to my 4-year-old Simon, Bob Goblin. Aww. That part was for Simon.
Cute.
Yes. Bob Goblin.
Bob Goblin, attorney at law.
Grebly Grunk. I don't know what this is called, but I'm going to call it a Grebly Grunk.
All right. This is a cover of Runaway by Del Shannon. It's funny, in the letter part of the email, he didn't mention this, but in the request part, he said Del Shannon Runaway. So I hope that's what he meant.
Yeah.
This is a cover by The Victims of Circumstance, and they came out with an album in 2012 called Decades, an EP, where they covered like One Direction and The Cars and Weezer and Billy Joel and Del Shannon, all popular songs from different decades, the 50s or 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Clever idea.
Yeah.
This was their 60s inclusion. It's Del Shannon's Runaway, covered by Victims of Circumstance.
Come on back tomorrow for Therapy Thursday and all that stuff. Oh, and by the way, Horizon Zero Dawn is really good, by the way.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you about. You played some yesterday?
I did.
On the stream?
No. I play by myself, but it's awesome.
I want to check it out.
It's cool. Really, I cannot believe how pretty that game is. Really? I'm blown away that they are pumping that out on a PlayStation 4, and I don't even have the Pro. Like, it's really impressive.
And engaging, and like,
story's great, gameplay is great. The it's one of the most original settings I've ever seen. It's get all that praise you're seeing online. It's deserved. It's really neat. And I'm not even that far in. I'm probably 2 hours in or something. But it's
all right.
It's awesome. It'll look great on your shelf, dude. Just sitting on your shelf.
If I get it, I'm going to play it, damn it.
All right. It'll look real good on there. All right, everybody. Here it is. It's Runaway. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
As I walk alone, I wonder what went wrong with our love, a love that was so strong. As I walk alone, I wonder what went wrong with our love, a love that was so strong. As I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Dick Smith.
Dick Smith.